Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 90 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for a little bit of a market update. We gave one not too long ago, but things have, some would say, unraveled. Some would say gone in Inter's favor. We'll get into the recent news of the day. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, we'll do a market update, and then we've got a couple special announcements to end the episode on. So who have we brought on here to help us with that?
Yeah, we thought that number 90 being, you know, Lukaku's number and being such a epic failure, we would bring on the biggest Napoli newsbreaker and ball buster, none other than Nima Tovali of Studio Vesuvio. Thank you so much, Nima, for joining us.
It's good to be with you, especially in this episode, but more about that later. But it's good. It's good. It's been a calm market. I'm a little bit annoyed with this Cabal thing because I thought we'll get into it, but I'm not angry. I'm just annoyed, but yeah, it's fine. I don't think we're buying anyone and I'm a little bit annoyed over that. But other than that, everything's great.
Well, we got a few names for you, potentially. One that I know you're excited to talk about. So.
Oh, man. Before we get into a potential meltdown, depending on how Johnny wants to play this, what we'll do is give you guys an update. So we ended off the last episode talking about potential incoming signings. At that point, just a few days ago, it seemed like Inter, or it didn't seem like, Inter was in the lead to sign Juan Cabal, 23-year-old defender out of Verona, Colombian, 6'1". Mostly played left back for Verona, but if you look at obviously the positioning and where he started his career at center back, it would seem like he would fit seamlessly into that Vice Bastoni role. The deal was rumored to be somewhere in the range of 8 to 10 million euros, with Kamate from the Primavera going the other way. Today, different story. Different story. L'Equipe breaks the news that Juventus has overtaken Inter for Juan Cabal for a figure of 12 million euros, quickly followed up by Di Marzio, Sky, and the rest of the familiar names as far as the Mercato in Italy is concerned. So the question is, I guess before we get into the question, why don't we kick it over to Nima? Do you have any details on exactly how this all went down, how we went from having the player in our hands to now joining our rivals in Torino?
Yeah, you have to agree with the club. It's as simple as that. Inter did not have an agreement with the Las Verona. Juve came in and paid them what they want. And Inter don't have the budget. It's the same story that it's been since the pandemic. You know, Inter have to make ends meet. They don't want to risk the budget. They have a specific budget they can work with, and they have to make it work. And they have to perform tiny little miracles. And there is no more budget than already is there. And they're not going to break that. We know that, like, anyone who was expecting Oak Tree to turn into Massimo Moratti will understand that this is not going to happen now. We knew this was not going to happen. I mean, the only reason, you know, Oak Tree came in and stabilized the club financially as part of the loan terms, which they give to, you know, when they loaned that money to Suning, and so they're not going to rock the boat. Absolutely not. Especially now when they're looking to stabilize the club financially and hopefully sell at a profit within 3 years. So, you know, it's annoying, but it's the reality we're dealt with. You know, it's just how it is. The thing about Cabal that I really liked is the fact that he's very good defensively. He's good aerially. He's good defensively. He's an aggressive player. He did really well after he came back from that injury and played, I think, 20 games in a row for Hellas, and was really, really good. But hey, Juve have been selling. Giuntoli has been selling. Basically, it's a garage sale, and he's getting rid of all the trash. And so they have money to buy. And I think this is a smart signing. I really do. I think 10, 12 million is very, very low. But if Inter don't have that money, they don't have that money. It's as simple as that. What are you going to do? It's nothing new. It's been like this since the pandemic under Suning, and it's going to be like this as long as Oaktree are there. This is the reality we're in. It's just as simple as it gets. I think it's a little bit annoying because I don't think Inter are going to buy a defender now, because I don't think it's in the budget. Even if it's
a free like Hermoso or Ricardo Rodriguez.
Well, look. They've made it very clear, haven't they, Oaktree, that they're not interested. They're interested in the Cabal type players. And I think everything in football is about balance. I think this notion of what Milan have done, kind of quote unquote, what they sort of mainly do is buy young, and then they have one or two older, experienced players in Zlatan, Giroud, and now Morata or Simon Kjær, whatever. I think that's the balance. I think what Inter have done under Marotta has been spot on. Balance between young and experienced. The Mkhitaryans and the Bastonis when he came. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think you need to find that right balance. And I think that I don't see Hermoso coming in to Inter. They're a little bit concerned about the wage budget. They don't want to take on, like, these contracts, they are financial undertakings that you need to be able to take care of for 2, 3, 4 years, right? Because nobody buying Hermoso at the age of 29 when he signs for Inter at 30. And I'm okay with that. But personally, I just think it's about balance. But I really like Cabal because it was a signing that was growing on me. I was a little bit like, what's the idea here? But then the more I thought about it and the more I started looking back, rewatching Hellas Verona games and reminding myself, especially the game against Inter. I thought he was really impressive in that game. I like 20, players who have presence, and I think he's a pro. Yeah, he's a player who we don't have at Inter. He's a player, it's a type of player who Inter's defense don't have. Inter's defense is ball playing, skillful, technical players. We don't have a bone breaker in our defense. And I think as that would have been nice to have had. And at 23, aerially strong, could play as a left center back, could play as a left wing back. I like that. I liked it. I thought it was a good option to have. It was a good rotation to have. Okay, now it's gone. No, it's not like we lost Bremer here, or it's not like we lost anything big. It's annoying because I think he will be outstanding for Juve. I think it's a very smart, shrewd signing by Giuntoli. Him and Bremer, and if they bring in Todibo, it's very, very clever. There's talk of moving Gatti as a right back to play some sort of a. We'll see what happens there. I think they're doing a good thing. I think it's a smart signing. I mean, they're resetting. He's young again. He had resale value. I'm a little bit like I wish that was our player, but yeah. It's not like. Oh my God, we're not going to win the Serie A because Cabal chose Juve. No, that we're not there. It's not like we didn't lose that big of a player. Potentially, maybe he can be one of the best, Thiago Motta, we've seen how good he is at improving players. He could maybe turn him into one of the best center defenders in the world. Who knows? Maybe. But it's not a given, is my point. But now the hunt continues because now Martinez, Taremi, Zielinski, They need to do something with Correa. They offloaded, Esposito, Stankovic, all these guys on loan, Zanotti, all that stuff. Now is the time to, learn from these mistakes and to understand that if you want to have resale value, you have to invest in youth.
You said a lot there that I definitely want to touch on, but we'll go one by one. So first things first, you mentioned the Esposito deals. The Stankovic looks like it's going to be over the line. Zanotti was 1.5 million euros. Super tough to fund the mercato when all of your rivals are getting actual money for their dead weight, and we are having such trouble offloading ours.
For example, just let me say, Torino today sold Ivan Ilic to Zenit. Now they're going to take, now there's talk of them going in for Tanner Tessman. So, yeah. I mean, that's the reality Inter are in. And the reason they are in that is because they, they sometimes spend on players they shouldn't spend on, very simply put. Or the free transfers that come in, you know, are older players who have no resale value.
Yeah. Correa is a really good example of that. Mm. And we should also touch on today was Inter's first friendly against Lugano, a 3-2 victory. Correa on the score sheet, first goal scorer for this season is Joaquin Correa. And then Inter's first ever Iranian, two goals, Taremi from the dischetto, penalty, and then scored a nice, apparently a Cucayo. Unfortunately, we couldn't see any footage of it, but how are you feeling?
What the hell are they doing? I'm sorry, but I love, look, we got it. Look, this is what I love about us as a fan base. We don't do North Korean state TV. Like when our Inter mess up, we give it to them. How the effing F are they not showing their first preseason game on their own channel or on
YouTube? Shown it before, which is like, why I thought it was weird.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, why not? What are you afraid? Like, that's just put it on freaking YouTube. Everyone would have been watching. You'd make your money back with the amount, yeah, like 50, 60,000 people watching or 10,000 people watching or whatever. Like, it's not, it's stupid. But it's, look, I think like you touched on there, Dal Dischetto, he is a penalty taker and Inter don't really have any after Haka. God bless Lautaro, but I think we all don't want to see him go anywhere near a penalty ever again.
been burned too many times.
Yeah, we don't do, like, no, we don't have penalty takers, and it's good to have Taremi, who is a penalty taker. So that's a good thing. And I mean, how I'm feeling as an Iranian, look, when I became an Interista back in 88, 89, never in a million years did I ever think that Inter's biggest name transfer, let alone an actual Iranian, would play for Inter. It's just surreal. And I'm happy and I'm proud, and I'm also very happy and proud and grateful to Inter. Again, we don't do North Korean state TV, just bad or just good. We do it honestly. I was incredibly grateful to them for how they introduced him and presented him and the text and the video and everything. And I told them as much. I told Roberto Manzani that as much in private, who's the director of Intermedia House. I told everyone else I know at the club and thanked them personally as an Iranian, as an Interista, as an Iranian Interista. And I mean, it was beautiful and very respectful, and I'm incredibly grateful to them for that.
Yeah, he's the signing I'm most excited for. But not to go off on too much of a tangent, Johnny, I want to kick it over to you. So Bremer, Thiago Giallo, and now Juan Cabal. Any comment you have on this pattern that seems to have been emerging?
I don't like it.
Where I don't know if Juventus has gotten rid of their scouting department and are just typing in Inter transfer targets into Google.
Google.
And that's how they're going about it. But how are you feeling after this has occurred for the third straight season?
To be honest, I'm not that upset. Like, it's, I mean, Thiago Giallo was coming back from a knee injury. Ball, you know, there was things that I like too, from what I saw. I did, like Nima said, I do think that he would have been a good bone crusher back there. But I also saw that he would make some errors sometimes and make a late challenge and make a mistake and bring a guy down in the box. So it's like, obviously there was potential there. But I'm not going to like sit here and pretend like, oh my gosh, Juve just sniped like this. You know, like I'm seeing on Twitter people like really having like full on meltdowns over this. Yeah, you know what? It would have been a nice signing, like Nima said, probably for that value. You're not going to find anyone. You know, I mean, I think that you could still potentially, you know, go after like a Nehuen Perez or Bijol or Vasquez or even Ostergaard, who looks to be on the way out at Napoli. You know, I mean, maybe you could strike a deal
Nima's
there.
Look at Nima's face.
Ostergaard, I like.
You mentioned Ostergaard, a Napoli player.
I liked Ostergaard all the way back then when he was at Genoa, even.
Sure you did, Nima. No,
stop. You know I did.
No, I know Ostergaard, you did. I know you
Ostergaard
did.
I like him because, again, he has presence. He's good in the air. I'm not saying we have nice guys in defense, but I'm just saying we don't have any mean SOBs.
Yeah,
and it'd be nice.
Exactly. Like, I remember, listen, I mean, say what you want about Skriniar, but he used to put fear in Dusan Vlahovic, and he was always putting his arm in his back. He was always doing stuff. Like, yeah, like that is the kind of guy that you do need, especially if you're going to have one, you know, on the bench or filling in from time to time. You know, I mean, if you look at transfer market, Ostergaard's valued at $8 million. I'm not saying that that's what Napoli's asking for. They're probably going to ask for much more than that. But who knows? Maybe you could ask like for a loan or something, because he doesn't seem to be in Conte's plans. And, you know, there could be something there. Now, whether Inzaghi wants him or not.
Which I find so weird. I do too.
I thought
Ostergaard would be exactly right up his alley.
Maybe he's not as good. He isn't known for playing with the ball at his feet. Something that Conte doesn't like. I don't know, but
Gianni, that's a Scandinavian problem. We've always had It is a Scandinavian problem we've had in this part of the world with central defenders who are good, but the technical and playing from the back. I mean, from Isak Hien, and also being made to look slow and being made to look very clumsy. Isak Hien, for example, who I know we both like, who's at Atalanta now, he's a great player, but the technical ball at his feet is not his best strength. And that's a Scandinavian thing, unfortunately. And that's something that Scandinavian football has been wrestling with for many, many years and still is wrestling with, and they're trying to change it. And not just defenders, but especially defenders who can play from the back. In Sweden, we produce players who are positionally well, you know, well-educated tactically and stuff like that. But especially in defense, we don't have that many good central defenders. We can't seem to produce players that are good with the ball at their feet in central defense. And it's a problem for Scandinavia. It's something that's been going on for generations.
So we don't know exactly how this is going to play out as far as what Inter's plans are going to be. It seemed like they were super hot on Cabal. So now that things are changing, I put out a tweet a couple days ago saying that if Cabal was the last thing that we did this summer and maybe renewing Dumfries, how would you rate Inter's mercato? The majority, and I said below a 5, 5 to 7, and 7 and above. The majority of people, I think 53%, voted that if that happens, it's a 5 to 7. So, you know, not the best mercato, but a decent one.
Yeah.
We have needs at the future of our center back. We have a need at Vice Bastoni. We have a need potentially, because I'm not too confident in Dumfries Darmian for this upcoming season, to hold down right wing back. And then it seems like Simona really wants a fifth striker. So I'll leave this out up to both of you. How do you finish this mercato in a way that you feel confident that this is a good mercato, but don't be, you know, unrealistic? I'll start with Nima.
You sell Valentin Carboni. I am fed up with this because he does not fit the system. He obviously doesn't suit the system. And I just, what's the point? Like, again, if you can get, you know, I know that Inter are like, they've set their price. They want 30, 40 million. No one's going to pay that for him. And he's not going to play at Inter. It becomes this kind of, what's the point? Okay, extend him by a year, send him on loan to someplace. But that's also, I mean, I understand people are critical of that. I think it's the best out of a shitty, sorry, scusa for the language, but I think it's the best out of all the shitty options you have, because no one's going to pay 30, 40 million for it. Okay, well then get him to extend his contract by a few years, send him on loan somewhere where he can show off his talents so that you can get that kind of money, right? It's not ideal, but that's better than having him rot at Appiano Gentile for 12 months, because he ain't playing. He's not taking Lautaro, Taremi, or what's his name? He's not. We know he's not. Like, it's, we can think what we want about it, but we all know it's not happening. So it's like, you just sell him at this point, you know? Because
but how much?
If an offer comes in for 25-30, I arrivederci. Because I don't see, like, it's better that, and then have, or yeah, maybe, no, I, you know, an increase, like a future resale value, for example. Bring it up to 25-30% even. Do you know what I mean? 40% if you sell it for 20-25. You know, like, do something like that. That's what everyone's doing, because liquidity is an issue in European football now, right? So sell cheaper, but then say future resale value, 50%. Basel did it. Look at how much they're raking it in over Calafiori. Or Bayern Munich did it with Zirkse. They that was 25 million euros they didn't even count, think was ever going to come back. And thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just how you got to do it. So I'd sell him. I'd mutual termination with Correa or send him on loan. I know for a fact that a few Greek colleagues of mine who I know very well and I know who have very good contacts in Greek football were AEK Athens were in Milan last week negotiating for Correa. But the problem is that because Inter don't want to do a minus valenza or negative capital, capital gains on the balance sheet, what they can't accommodate what the Greek team wants. So at that point, and they also want to, they rather sell than loan. So they said they've pushed it back to the end of the, to the fine del mercato, these deadline day deals, which is whatever. Just get rid of that. Arnautovic, as I've said numerous times, that godforsaken day when we signed him, we're not going to get rid of him. He's going to stay. He's going to see out his contract and it's going to bite us in the ass. And, it is what it is. So Klassen's gone. Sensi's gone. Acerbi, De Vrij worries me. I don't care what anybody says. De Vrij has shown time and time and time and time and time again that he has peaked and is on the decline. There are instances where he can be good, but the problem remains. He gets turned by slow players because he is slow on the turn. And we saw it in the Euros as well. He had one game where he was unbelievable, man of the match. But against good, quick players who turn quickly, he struggles. Let's remember, the man got turned by Olivier Giroud, who moves like a refrigerator. So it is what it is. And Acerbi's injury, groin injury, 37 years old, like that, I don't like that situation. So the question is, do I want to see Bastoni in the middle of the defense? Absolutely not. I think he's outstanding there because he's an outstanding player. But Inter need him on the left, just like they need Pavard on the right. Because together with the wingbacks, with Di Marco and even a limited player like Dumfries or Darmian at this age, they offer something else. They make Inter more unpredictable and more difficult to, more difficult to defend against. So the question is, do you play a young kid in Jan Bicek there? I think Bicek should be played regardless. I just know that that's not his position. He's a right center back, and that's the position, or left, and that's where they want to play him. Personally, I'd like to try him as a center back, but the problem still remains, right? And I don't think they're going to address it this summer. I think it's one of those things where they'll be like, we're fine. We'll push this kick this can down the road to January. And I hope for their sake that Acerbi and De Vrij don't get injured. In Acerbi's case, injury, and in De Vrij's case, implosion.
Yeah. So what if you could only cover one of fifth, right wing back, vice Bastoni, vice De Vrij / Acerbi, which would you cover? What do you think is the most pressing need?
Oh, I think the center back. That's without a doubt, center back. And I would have liked to have seen, I know that Cabal is not a center back, but it would have made me a little bit calmer because Augusto then can play as a wing back. We know he's good at that. And I actually prefer him as a wing back than I do as a left center back.
Well.
Even though I know that he's played as a center back. He played as a libero, I think, even in Brazil, if I remember correctly. So he's not...
This isn't volleyball, Nima.
The kids don't know what that means.
Okay. Sweeper. Sorry. And I love the volleyball reference, by the way. That was very, very... that was quick. No, but, I know he's played as a sweeper and a central defender in Brazil way, way back in his career, so he understands the role. But, no, I'd rather have a center back. I really, really do. And there was no money for Buongiorno. That was never a real thing. Find me a young Bisek that can play in center back, Piero. Hey, Dario, you always go on these journeys to South America in January when it's, funnily enough, every time is a carnival in Rio. Odd coincidence. But no, seriously, find me a center back in Europe. My kingdom for a center back. Or if not, sorry, F it. go for a cheeky loan of Skriniar because they don't want him there.
Okay, no.
Please, no, seriously. God, no. Cheeky loan. Please, cheeky God, loan.
Thank you. We're actually going to cut the episode short now, everybody. No announcements will be made.
Cheeky loan of Milan Skriniar.
We're trying We're trying to retain listeners, Nima. Okay.
Yeah, we're not trying to cut.
All right, Johnny, give me your
why not Skriniar as a center back? Come on. On a loan, one season.
Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
We saw the last time we brought someone back to the club, they eventually betrayed us. So not interested.
Okay.
But Johnny, give me your idea for this mercato that would put it above a 7 for you. Be as realistic as you can.
Yeah, it would have to be like Nima said, a center back would have to come in that could either step in and start right away or be an understudy up until January and then, you know, maybe even take over after that. Realistically, I mean, you got Bijol, you got Perez at Udinese. I would be happy with one of them. If that's not even an option, I mean, I don't know where you go, to be honest. I don't think you can get it above that.
I'll tell you why I don't want it to be Bijol. I'll tell you why I don't want it to be Bijol. For very selfish reason. Very selfish reason.
I know exactly why.
Yeah. If he stays at Udinese, we get to sit and interview him on the Italian Football Podcast. Simple as that. I don't care. He's very, very, very selfish reasons. Just like with Cannavaro. We were promised that if Cannavaro is confirmed as the new Udinese manager, we would got him. So I want to have Giacca Bijol at least.
You guys heard it here first. Noted Napoli fan hopes Inter miss out.
No. I don't hope he miss out. I hope he stays at least until January at Udinese.
So it's an interesting thought because I think... fucking anticlimactic here. I think the center back is the way to go. I would also sell Carboni. Reason being, that Vice Bastoni role, we saw Acerbi switch over to the left plenty of times. If it needs to be, he can go ahead and do it. And Bissek started his career on the left. This move over to the right was not initially anticipated when he came into Inter. So for a player that should be getting more minutes, if there is an opportunity for him to slide and cover another role, then so be it. For me, it's center back. Because I think the other roles, the right wing back, fifth striker, those feel like they could be January market opportunities to fill. Whereas the center back is, you know, let's make the investment now if it's possible to make the investment now. So that would fix the mercato for me. But I'd feel a little differently if, you know, maybe Carboni and Dumfries are both able to go. Maybe you have more money where you can, you know, fill in more holes. Who knows how it's going to play out. But as of right now, after coming into the summer, having signed Zielinski and Taremi on a free, it feels like things have sort of simmered down a little bit, despite there being some holes to fill. So we'll see how all that shakes out. All right, Johnny, I'm going to kick it over to you. This is going to be a quick episode today, but I'm going to kick it over to you. We have two special announcements for you guys. Johnny has a reveal coming up.
Yeah, so like many of you know, we were working with a company to make jerseys for the Interviews podcast. That was paid at the end of June. We were told it was going to take about 4 to 5 weeks. We just got an update that it arrived today.
Yes.
And
they're stunning, them by the way.
Right here. It is absolutely gorgeous.
I
love it. Like, I'm so glad that people are going to be able to see it too, like, once we put it up.
So it's in the style of the away jersey from the Fiorucci era, 93-94. Just to describe it for anyone, we're going to post video of this, but just to describe it for you guys.
Video, pictures.
The blue is a little bit darker, more towards what we see in this era of Inter. The old patch has stayed, but it's the second star has been added to it.
I had him put the second star on
it. And it looks awesome.
It looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, like, very excited.
I'm in love with that shirt. I think it's one of the most beautiful, like, concept shirts I've seen of Inter, and it's retro.
And Nima, showing it to you on camera, it's not even doing it justice, because there is some like embossing on the jersey itself that is, I mean, stunning. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. I can't wait until I get mine.
Speaking of that, how do the people that have placed the orders get their jerseys?
So, yeah, I mean, whether it's PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, I don't know what other payment stuff out there. Reach out to me on Twitter would probably be the best way. If you are one of the Instagram listeners, send a message on Instagram. I know there's a couple of guys who reached out on Instagram actually to place orders. So just send messages and we can figure out how to do that. And once you send payment, I've already ordered like the envelopes to pack them up and ship them out to everybody. So everything's ready to be sent out. And we're also going to be giving. So I placed an order of cards for everyone who placed an order is also going to be getting a Jan Bisek rookie card with their order. And we have some like new stickers that we had made up to include, so you could put it on stuff. And
yeah. Give me the stickers. Keep the card for yourself. I don't want to do anything. I don't know what to do with cards. You can keep my card, but send me lots of stickers. All right.
So someone's going to get to Nima's card on top of it.
I don't know what to do with these cards. Like, I know you collect them and I don't understand what you do with them. Like, what's the point? What do I do with them?
You just collect them because you're an Inter fan. That's all.
Yeah, I get that. But literally, where am I supposed to put it? Like, I got, you have any idea how much shit I got? Like, I'm afraid I'm going to ruin it. It's going to end up in my drawer. Like, do you know what I mean?
I'd be pretty shocked because it comes in a case. So if you ruined it,
Send it to Bijol when you interview him. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, so it comes in a case too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to put them in case so they don't get bent or damaged or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I know you. I know you. This is your thing. You make money off of it and shit. Like, I've seen you do some really good deals.
Yeah, I do have to hustle.
No, but you do it. Like, you do. You do really well on that. So I have no idea what I'm like. Yeah.
Guys do reach out to Johnny and get the payment all sorted and it's shipped out to you, make sure you are taking some pictures, posting it on Twitter or X, as the newbies call it. Would be awesome to see your support and you guys wearing your jerseys. So they look 100%. Awesome. Excited to shoot them out. And you can wear those jerseys while you're listening to the new edition of the Interviews podcast. Nima, I'm going to kick it over to you to round out the special announcements.
So a lot of people have asked me why I stopped with Studio Inter and something I was doing for like 6-7 years. And I just didn't have the time between some changes with the pod, with the Italian football podcast, and also being taking a more backseat role in the sense of not, you know, overseeing the everyday content at Sempre Inter, doing all the exclusive stuff and all that stuff. So I didn't have time to do this Studio Inter. And so that's where the idea kind of came after I saw that you guys were doing the pod and I really enjoyed the content and everything else you're doing. And so basically we're really, really thrilled to announce that from August 1st and onwards, the Interviews podcast will be the official podcast of Studio Inter, and we will be hosting it on every episode on our YouTube page. You guys will keep pushing it on your, you know, your podcast platforms that you guys have got. And we'll be putting the pod on, you know, essentially it's a partnership between Interviews and Sempre Inter, and I'm absolutely delighted.
We are delighted as well. Thank you for helping this get done. We're now Interviews Pod, powered by SempreInter.com, and it's super exciting to get into a new era of it. And a lot more content is going to be coming your way with this partnership.
It is, and it's really nice for me as well because I had to do everything with a pod before. You guys are kind of doing your own thing, and I can kind of be here a little bit more and help you guys out and be a little bit more like in the background. And whenever you, when it, we can do some really cool stuff together, only Inter related. And it's nice because I've always done everything alone. It's nice to have some people to do it with and also not to have to do everything yourself. So
Johnny, having negotiated this deal with Nima, Are the rumors true? Is he a Beppe Marotta in the boardroom?
Yeah, no, I guess he is. You know, he was a tough negotiator for sure. He had some pretty crazy demands. We won't go into details here just because there might be children listeners, but no, all kidding aside, it was when he suggested it, I mean, we leapt at the opportunity. This was something that we'd wanted to do, but we also wanted to work out some of the kinks ourselves and kind of be able to be doing a good, consistent product and something that we're proud of. And I felt like now that we reached this place and Nima felt it too. So this was I wouldn't say a long time coming, but it was definitely, you know, we definitely worked for this, and I'm very happy that we were able to partner up with you.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, for me as well, like, because this is like the last few years ever since the pandemic, it really feels like we have an actual community now of Inter fans online, in the sense that I've not really felt that before. I thought it was weird before. It just wasn't my thing. But now these last 3 years, the like everyone that I've gotten to know, and we've all gotten to know each other, and it just feels like we actually have a community in the sense that we didn't used to before. And I think it's really fun between yourselves and Sharma and Tony, who runs Azzurri Extra, and Thomas, who has the Inter Extra and everything. Like, I really, really like the community that we've created online, the English-speaking Inter community. And it feels nice to have this podcast. And I mean, the website has been there for 12 years, and to have the web, you know, have the podcast go together with that and kind of build on that as a community, online community for Interisti. And it feels this is a first step, hopefully of many steps, that I think we can do something really cool together.
Yeah, and the pod is obviously continuing to grow, and with that, some nice more segments have been added. So Nima, we're gonna do a guess the player.
Oh dear God!
To wrap up this episode, you're gonna name. I'm gonna give you clues, one at a time, of an Inter player from our lifetime, and you're gonna go ahead and I guess as each clue comes out. So we'll start here. This is an Inter player that started his career in the Primavera and joined the Inter first team in 2002.
Joined the first team in 2002? Balotelli?
Not Balotelli. Next.
No, he's way too young. You're right. I got my numbers wrong there. Yeah.
Yep. Next hint, he made 36 appearances for Inter, playing mostly at fullback.
Jesus. Okay. A Primavera player, first team player since 2002, made 30 as a full 30 appearances. Faraoni.
No, that's too
yeah. You're right. No.
Your next hint. After signing Giuseppe Favalli, he was sent on loan to Siena and eventually Parma.
I'm blanking. Because I remember when Favalli joined.
Primavera player.
I think this hint is going to give it away. He's known, his appearance is known for having the gelled up spiky hair.
Gelled up spiky hair? I'm blanking here. It's probably going to be one of those where you're like, oh, of course.
You're going to be you're going to be so pissed. All right. His last name has close ties to the holiday of Easter.
Pasqua.
His last name.
Oh, come on. What's his name?
It's there. That's his name.
It's not Manuel. No, it's not Pasquale. It's not
Pasquale. Giovanni Pasquale is the player here. Johnny, did you get it?
No, you went too hard for me. I would not.
Yeah, that was
a tough one. I did not even think of that.
Did he make 34 appearances as a fullback of the first team?
36 appearances with the first team.
And then you talk about the spiky hair. Dude, I honestly do not remember Giovanni Pasquale. Maybe, you know, now looking at his, I remember him at Udinese, maybe because, yeah, he made 134 appearances. Yeah, that's when I remember him.
I absolutely do not remember him at making 36 performances for Inter in the first team. Like in actual competition.
Between 2002 and 2006, though. So really, like, it's not like he was playing consistently.
Really did not. No, that went straight over my head. That was difficult, but I like that.
Don't remember him. Not at Inter, anyway.
I tried to make it tough, given
it's good. I like it. No, make it hard. Make it
the
hard.
Reputation we have here of our esteemed guest. Go, you know, so I went into it.
I would never in a million years thought of him.
He didn't endear himself to very many Interisti, unfortunately. Didn't really pan out after having, being part of the Italy U21 setup. And there were some hopes that he was going to be our future left back, but Giovanni Pasquale is today's guest, the player.
Nice. I like that. Giovanni Pasquale.
All right.
I wonder what he's doing today.
Well, like, he's got to be commenting on Calcio. Isn't that what most retired former players do?
Oh, look at that. I actually looked him up. He is the manager for amateur side Venaria Reale.
Okay.
Where the hell is that?
And that is in Northwest Torino.
Okay. Okay. Cool. I love that. That's the kind of like hardcore trivia. Like, that's like, it's kind of really difficult. That's the level. Let's keep that up, Rafa. Let's keep that up, Sandra.
That's in the, I never heard of Venaria Reale. Okay.
Neither have I. That was new for me.
Johnny, any last words here? Anything to let the people know before we get out of here?
No. That was it. That was the good stuff. That was
Looking forward to my jersey, I'm not gonna lie.
I am too.
I'm so looking forward to my jersey like that. I remember when you contacted me asking if I want one, and then you sent me the image. I was like, hell yeah, I want one. They're stunning.
They're awesome. It is honestly like gorgeous. I put it on for a little bit this afternoon. As soon as I got here, I ripped everybody. I think I ripped Huion's by accident. It's totally ripped. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Huion. But yeah, no. Once I found mine, I was like, oh man. And I threw it on. Obsessed.
That's stunning. Absolutely stunning. They really are. And it's your design, isn't it?
It's my design. I mean, not really my design. Like, obviously, because I kind of copied the one from 93-94. But yeah, I mean,
it's called inspiration from.
Yeah.
As your legal advisor, I advise you to change that to inspired by.
There's no. Yeah, I was inspired by Umbro, who no longer make the kids for Inter. So
the inspired by. That's what you were. Those are the words you're looking for. It's absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. It's just
good.
I love the blue and black and how they like the shapes of those and the white. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, they killed it. They killed it.
They did. They sure did.
I'm so thankful.
So Nima, what have you got going on? Any plugs for recent episodes? I know you guys just put out something of Italian Football Podcast.
Yeah, we're doing during the summer, we always do the Mercato deep dives with every club. I just did a 50-minute one on Lazio because it's been absolutely crazy there for the last few months.
And I do did like some of the players they brought in, though.
Me too. And it was really interesting to listen to Valerio Marcangeli, who writes, he covers Lazio for Il Messaggero. Who is the biggest? It's the biggest Rome newspaper. It's one of the national ones, and he's their like top Lazio journalist, and he knows everything about that club. And he was on TV. I thought it was called TVPlay.it. He's doing a new Lazio radio show as well, really big one with some really big guests. So it was really nice to sit and talk to him. And I'm always blown away when you sit down and talk with these local journalists, whether it's whoever it is, in Florence, Naples, Rome, the level of knowledge that these guys have of their clubs inside and out is just, it's just so, so impressive. They're incredibly knowledgeable, and they're very, very nice people to talk to as well, and funny, and nice people. So it's always a fun thing. And of course, we've got something coming on soon. I don't want to say too much, but it's someone who, because of the one thing that we've been covering quite a bit for a few years at the pod, at the Italian Football Podcast, is the problem with youth, the lack of pathway of youth into the first teams in Serie A. And we're working on bringing one of the scouts who worked, who's part of the under 17 team that won the Euros. Nice. Who's gonna?
That's awesome.
Yeah, to have him come on and talk about that experience and also how he got that job, and also pick his brain on why Italy win the under 17s, the under 19 Euros. They're the vice champions of the World Cup for under 20, but there's hardly any of them playing in the Serie A. Something has to give. And of course, he's not going to be able to answer all of that, but he can maybe shed some light on the struggles and what they're doing to address that. And that's one of the people we're looking to bring on soon, an interview, hopefully as a video, because we're doing more of that on YouTube. So yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. And of course, the Mercato Deep Dives on the Monday show, which is free for all, and the Q&A pods and all that stuff. So yeah.
That's going to be a really good episode. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you ask him about Giovanni Leone. I'm curious to know more about this kid.
Absolutely.
Well, if you saw recent quotes from Fabio Cannavaro, you know, he said
he's the future.
You really need to stop with this. Like, it's like, and as soon as people, like random people who don't know you and aren't on Twitter, start sending me this, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
The best is that the Saudis picked it up and they're tweeting about it as if it's fact.
Yeah, but this is literally how you drive up somebody's price. you're working against Inter manager right now.
And it's like you're tagging Simone Fregna. I just want to die.
Known journalist. I don't know why that's funny. He's a known journalist from Cazzone.
Late to Simone Fregna. Oh my god. No words.
You're gonna get me in trouble, Johnny. One day.
Yeah, I mean, in this age of Mark Violets, going on, you know, the Daily Show and Newsweek covering it. And I'm actually talking to a New York Times journalist about it because they want to do a story on it.
Oh, man. That's
unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable. Like,
it's genuinely, yeah.
That
it's
is
insane.
Awesome, though.
Insane.
It's awesome.
It is. It's
so funny. Calcio Twitter undefeated. Like, it's just.
Jesus. Alrighty.
Yeah, my favorite part of John is John Stewart looking at that photo of Violi and going, he does look kind of shootery.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was so
Why?
Good.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my days. Oh, it's so funny. That's one for the ages. Like, that's it. Calcio Twitter has peaked.
Alrighty. Oh, time to head out here. Nima, thanks for jumping on. Guys, always make sure you reach out to Johnny about the jerseys. And we're excited to start the Sempre Interviews era of the podcast.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.